I'm supposed to. I've just been told I'm supposed to say good morning. After sitting here for a while this morning, I wondered whether I should speak at all, and so some of you are wondering that. I didn't get a yellow shirt. And then I saw a few blue ones. I like blue. But I didn't get a shirt. And I didn't know that all this was going to happen when I came here this morning. And the question is, why should I take time when Pastor Bill hasn't spoken yet? You see a passage of Scripture up on the screen. I hope you see it. And actually, it began with the 30th verse, and it's supposed to continue through 47. It's a rather long passage, and it's a teaching passage. It is something that Jesus taught. The question is, do we understand it? John's gospel is probably the simplest of the four gospels, and yet at the same time, the most profound. And there are depths of meaning here that we will just barely touch upon. For a moment, let's be quiet and bow our heads in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come here hearing so much noise in the world on TV, radio, and it's very hard for us to be quiet. It's very difficult for us to hear the still, small voice that speaks to us, the word that we need to hear. But we'll pray for that. Heavenly Father, we are rather desperate because there's so much confusion. But we do pray right now that you will speak to each one of us here, obviously in different ways, but speak to us the word that we personally need to hear. So that when we go forth from this service of worship, having worshiped you in spirit and in truth, we will have taken the next step in the progress of being a faithful disciple of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For we ask our prayers in his mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. All right. I actually don't quite know what we should do. I'm dependent upon that prayer. If you will look at Jesus had healed a man of 38 years who was a paralytic at the pool of Bethesda. And then he had commanded him to pick up his cot and walk. And then he was accused of causing a break of the Sabbath day. First of all, he didn't have to heal on that day. He could have waited till the next one. Secondly, the man shouldn't have picked up and carried anything. And immediately, the Pharisees, who were obviously going to please God by obeying all the rules, accused Jesus not only of breaking the Sabbath, but of saying that the Almighty God was my Father. Now, we were taught to pray, Our Father who art in heaven. But you need to realize that for the Jewish people, they never addressed God as Father. And Jesus dared to say, My Father. And then there is a kind of defense of this, if you look at this passage, that he only says what he's been told to say. This is Jesus' claim. I only do what I've been told to do. And if you look at the 30th verse, I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Now, how many so-called, I put this in special parenthesis, spiritual leaders on the radio who will pick up the Bible and say, I believe the Bible from cover to cover. And then they proceed to preach a message that actually is not what the Bible's teaching. It's really quite tragic. I believe the Bible. Well, by the way, we're not commanded to believe the Bible. We are commanded to believe in Jesus. And when we put our trust in Jesus, then the Bible becomes for us an authority, the Word of God, the only infallible rule of faith, what we are to believe and practice, how we're to live, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now, if you don't read the Bible that way, then to say, I believe in the Bible, is really a lot of profound nonsense. Jesus never told us to believe in the Bible. He said, believe in me. And when we believe in me, in Jesus, then we will have an understanding of Scripture. I say, I believe the Bible from cover to cover as the only rule of faith and practice, because the Holy Spirit reveals to me the truth of certain passages of Scripture that I certainly can't understand in my own judgment. So this is the witness to Jesus. And it's very important to understand this. And then he points out that they looked to John the Baptist, the baptizer. But he was a burning and shining lamp. That is to say, he did shine for a while, but he was burning out. And that the testimony to Jesus about who he is by John the Baptizer is one thing, but it's fading away. And he said, what is bearing witness to me is what the Father is doing. And one of those things that was happening was the sick were being healed, and actually large numbers of people were going to be fed, and the Father had sent him, and the Father is doing this through Jesus. The Father is witnessing in Jesus. Now, I want to remind you that the gospel according to John begins with a prologue. In the beginning was the Word. But what was the Word? Not a spoken word. It was something unique. The Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And there he is, Jesus. On this earth, everything that he ever did, he was doing exactly what the Heavenly Father willed for him to do. Everything he ever said was what the Heavenly Father willed for him to say. And he says, you search the Scriptures. He was talking about the Sadducees, who in the Sanhedrin believed that the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, were inspired. But they didn't give any credit for the rest of it. It was the Torah, the books of Moses, and said, you think that you read those and that you have eternal life. Well, you think so, but it's not true. They bear witness to Jesus. If you want eternal life, you have to be properly related to Jesus. And who is Jesus? The Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. But people give you glory. People praise your name. But it's not that. Jesus said, you don't have God within you. I've come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. Now think for a moment. Think of the popularity of certain people who come in their own name, and people believe them. They can lie to you, and you're indifferent to the lies. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another? No. If you really have understood the first five books of the Bible, you realize that you don't put your trust in Moses. You put your trust in the Word. If you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. Well, is that what you've seen in Genesis to Deuteronomy? If you do not believe his writings, you will not believe in my words. Now, the question that I put to you this morning, and obviously I could have taken much, much longer, and you say, you don't see how that's possible. But I could have. And the point is, do you see in the Word of God, God's personal word to you that comes to us through the Lord Jesus Christ? It's not in the printed word. It's the word that dwelt in Jesus, the word that speaks to you personally. And there's an inner response. You know, God the Father is for us. God the Son is with us, Emmanuel. God the Holy Spirit is in us. God has more than one way of being God. The one God has three ways of being God. And it's in your heart as the Holy Spirit that He speaks to you, that He convicts you, that He gives you understanding, that He gives you courage. He enables you to be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Does He? Does He enable you to be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ? That's the question that's put to you this morning. And as you go forth from this time of worship, has there been a change? Have you in any sense been transformed? I pray that you have. Let us pray right now. Heavenly Father, give us sensitive spirits to your word to us. Let us hear the still small voice that comes in various ways. And from the depths of our hearts, we thank you. We thank you in the precious name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen.